One of the most popular shows on network television nowadays is CSI. Maybe you're familiar with that TV show. It tends to be very highly rated in the weekly ratings. I looked at the primary Facebook group for this TV show, and it has 849,000 members. But anyway, what do the members of the CSI team do? Well, they gather and analyze evidence. They go to a crime scene and they sift through that crime scene looking for every hair or fiber or foreign substance, all in an effort to try and help catch the bad guys. But again, their main work is to gather the evidence and then analyze that evidence. Today I'd like to ask you to help me in analyzing the evidence that's before us. It's already been gathered for us. It's been gathered in St. John's Gospel in the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Thus far the text. Jesus had been speaking to some Jews about who he was, about himself, giving them evidence to consider, evidence that very clearly showed that he was, as we heard yesterday, the Good Shepherd. And in this part of John chapter 10, he again is speaking to these Jews about himself, mainly because they had asked him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly if you are the Christ." And so Jesus proceeds to give them additional evidence about himself, evidence which beyond a shadow of a doubt shows that Christ's sheep recognize him as their shepherd. Why? First off, because the shepherd teaches his sheep. And in order to be taught, we need to listen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And where do we hear Jesus' voice? We know we hear his voice in his word, in the Bible. Now, to us, that's kind of a no-brainer, where we hear Jesus' voice. We know that the Bible is God's word. We hold to that. But that's not necessarily true in the entire visible church. Even many so-called Bible scholars say that the Bible is just a bunch of stories that have been put together, written by well-intentioned men over the years to try and get certain points of view across, maybe to paint a particular picture of Jesus. But it's not true, it's not essentially true, and it's not God's word. Now, before we self-righteously proclaim that we are the ones who hold to the Bible as being God's word, as being the truth, think about how we treat it at times. We say that it's true in every respect, but how many times do we twist it to fit our own needs? How many times do we think we can ignore certain parts of the Bible so that we don't feel condemned for a particular sin that we really like to commit? We decide that listening to our shepherd's voice in the religious studies classes that we have or here in chapel every day is plenty for us. And so we don't really see the need to study God's word on our own in personal devotions, for example. But if we truly confess that the Bible is the word of God, that it's the word of our shepherd, then he teaches us through that word. He teaches us that we, his sheep, don't deserve to be his sheep. We only deserve death and eternal damnation because of our sins. But he also teaches us that he forgives us our sins. He shows us that he, the shepherd, laid down his life for us so that we don't have to die. And that's how we became his sheep. And so when we hear Jesus' word, when we hear his voice, we pay attention to it. We listen to it. We follow him because he is our life. He is our eternal life. And as we consider the evidence about Jesus, we recognize him as our shepherd also because he knows his sheep. And this knowledge that Jesus has of us, his sheep, is not like how we know maybe hundreds of people in this world, that casual sort of knowledge that we have. The knowledge that the good shepherd has of us, his sheep, is actually infinite. It's deeper than any knowledge we could ever begin to comprehend. Just one small example. How many hairs do you have on your head? Now, some of you, it might be a little easier to count now than it was a few years ago, but that's beside the point. We probably haven't counted those, but Jesus says in Matthew 10 that all of the hairs on our head are counted. He knows us to that degree, and he knows us even more than that. I'm not trying to trivialize Jesus' knowledge of us as his sheep, because, again, his knowledge of us is infinite in that that knowledge is from eternity. In eternity, Jesus not only knew us, but he also chose us. He chose us to be his own. He chose us to be one of his sheep. Paul says in Ephesians, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. There is no one who knows us as well as our shepherd. And finally, Christ's sheep recognize him as our shepherd because he protects his sheep. He says about his sheep, about us, they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now we know that that doesn't mean that those spiritual enemies around us aren't going to try to take us out of the loving grasp of our shepherd. We know that the devil is constantly out there bombarding us with temptations, constantly trying to get us to trip up and knock us loose from that grip. It's as Peter says in his first letter that the devil, our enemy, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We know that we have those temptations coming at us constantly. And unfortunately, there are times, many times, when we prove to be our own worst enemies. We end up going along with some of those temptations. And we sin, and we sin, and we sin, and we just can't seem to stop. It may seem at times that we're trying to jump out of Jesus' hand. But we have the ultimate protection that our shepherd gives us. We have eternal life. I give them eternal life, Jesus said. Think about what comfort that gives us every day. We know that this world is not going to be our home forever. We know that we have eternal life now, but we also know that anything we go through in this life doesn't compare to the joys that we're going to have in heaven when we're there with our shepherd. There is nothing that can compare to that kind of protection. And Jesus is the only one who can protect us in that way, who can protect us eternally. Just after these words of our text, Jesus says about himself, I and the Father, God the Father, are one. Jesus is the one true God. He is the only one who can provide eternal protection for us. What more evidence do we need? That was actually the question of the Pharisees just after the text. When they heard Jesus' words, they knew what he was saying. They knew that he was claiming to be the Christ, that he was claiming to be the Messiah, the very Son of God. And that's why they were getting ready to stone him right then and there. What more evidence do we need? We ask that question also as sheep who are looking for the one true shepherd. We know the one true shepherd. He is the one who found us. He's the one who teaches us, who knows us, and who protects us. It's clear that he is our only shepherd. Continue to follow him so that someday you will be with him in heaven. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Dear Savior Jesus, our loving shepherd, we thank you for making us a part of your flock through your means of grace, through your word of power and might. We ask that you would always keep us faithful to you so that we will not only remain in this flock here on earth, but also be with you in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. Gracious to you, the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.